All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our city council meeting this evening. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be recited by Councilmember Dewey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Maggie. Roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin.
Here.
Councilmember Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmer.
Here.
Councilmember Ward.
Here.
Councilmember Wirtz.
Here.
Councilmember Gibbons.
Here.
Councilmember Sears.
Here.
Thank you. City Attorney Hessel, would you enter a statement in minutes about meeting remotely?
I would, Mayor. As the notice of this meeting reflects under Section 610.015 of the Missouri Sunshine Law, members of the City Council are not physically present. Council chambers can participate and vote on all matters when an emergency exists and the nature of the emergency stated in the minutes. So again, let the minutes reflect that unfortunately we are still in the state of this pandemic. Hopefully we'll be out of it soon. Referred to as COVID-19, and the City Council is meeting remotely for their own safety as well as the safety of the general public.
Thank you, John. We have a few presentations tonight. Is Carol Rush on? Do we know?
I don't see her in the participants list, Mayor, but I did send her an invite, so I'm not sure if she's just running late or what.
Okay, no, that's... No, that is fine. This is April, so it's Arbor Day month, so to speak. So, and Carol is the chair of the Urban Forestry Commission. But I'm going to go ahead and read our Arbor Day proclamation. Whereas Arbor Day is held every year in Kirkwood and is designated for planting trees. Kirkwood is known as the Green Tree City because of its vast number of trees and park areas. Trees have always been important to Kirkwood. As early as 1870, residents were concerned about the appearance of the community and established a program for beautification, which has remained a characteristic to this date, due in large part to trees. The annual Green Tree Festival has been a highlight on the city's calendar since 1961. We're spending last year, and let's cross our fingers for this year. This festival was initiated due to residents' concerns for dying trees in the community. The Kirkwood Urban Forestry Commission was created on February 19, 1998 to provide oversight and guidance on urban forestry issues. The Arbor Day tree planting will take place on Saturday, April 24th, where three tulip poplar trees will be planted along the southern border of the new Performing Arts Center. The City of Kirkwood has been designated as a Tree City USA for the 31st year, with Growth Award distinctions in 1993, 1997, 2003 and 2004, and the city has received the Missouri Department of Conservation Arbor Award of Excellence for 2011 for the Junior Tree Keepers Program, and in 2019 for its comprehensive commitment to urban forestry. Now, therefore, I, Timothy Griffin, Mayor of the City of Kirkwood, on behalf of the Kirkwood City Council, do proclaim April 24th, 2021 is Arbor Day in the City of Kirkwood. And I think on the 24th, I'm gonna check the tree planting, I think is at 9 a.m. I'm gonna check it really quick just to make sure. Yeah, 9 a.m. at the Performing Arts Center on Saturday, April 24th. All right, now we have another presentation for the Urban Forestry Advocate of the Year Award, Linda Fulkamp. Do we know if Linda is on? Ah, I think I see Linda.
There she is.
Yep.
Can you?
Hello, Linda.
I am here. Gideon.
We can hear you.
Okay. Okay, where's Pete when I need him?
he's retired. He's not doing any work. Come on.
Uh-oh, now what have I clicked? Oh, dear.
If there's a start video somewhere, that's probably it.
All right. Look in the lower left-hand corner, Linda.
Yeah, sometimes, like in mine, you have to float your cursor down there in order for it to reveal.
It's turning away. Oh, it's more. Okay. Yeah.
There's Linda.
We saw you, Pete.
Okay, I am here. I am here. Thank you.
Well, Linda is the Urban Forestry Advocate of the Year Award winner this year. And just a little bit about Linda. I think everybody knows Linda. You know, she was first appointed to the Urban Forestry Commission in 1998, basically at the beginning, and served two terms, and then came back in 2015 again, and then served, 5 years. So you, all in all, with all the years, you served a long time on the Urban Forest Commission. We appreciate that. You were part of the commission when the Tree City USA Growth Awards distinctions back in 2003 and 2004, and when the city received the Department of Conservation Arbor Award of Excellence in 2019 for the comprehensive commitment to urban forestry. You were just such a big part of all of this, Linda, achieving milestones with the street tree inventory, the tree ordinance, the addition of urban forester to our staff, just your attention to detail and commitment to, organizing junior tree keepers program. In 2019 is a field day at Kirkwood Park, and that is all in addition to your other hours of volunteering, just countless days and hours at commission booths at Green Tree, Earth Day celebrations, farmers market, pulling honeysuckle in the park, planting trees with 50 trees. There's not many people who have served Kirkwood as long or, as distinctly as you have, Linda. You've just been there. Even when you weren't formally on a commission, you were always active in the community, and your quote unquote retirement from the city activities well earned and well justified. But we know you and Pete, you're not going anywhere. We're still going to see you around and be an active part of the community. So congratulations on being selected the award winner this year.
Thank you so much. It was humbling to hear the news, and because I'm not a professional, I just roll up my shirt sleeves and they let me work with them. Hopefully I've been able to bring something to the table, because it's been wonderful working with all of the dedicated citizens in Kirkwood. Yeah.
Very, 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 very well deserved, Linda. And thank you again for all you've done all of these years. So
you're very welcome.
Good job, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Erica, could you point out that this doesn't allow her to retire from continued service, volunteer service?
That's why I said quote unquote retire.
You won't retire.
No, that sounds good. All right, thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have some electric department awards, and turn it over to Director of Electric, Mark Kennedy.
Thanks. I know you have a busy schedule and agenda here, but I just wanted to highlight a few things. Kirkwood is a great place to live, to visit, to do business. And one of the reasons is because it has its own utility. The three awards that we've been given, Reliability Award, the award associated with our safety, and the award associated with the tree line utility status, they're indicative of the way we go about doing our business and the reason that Kirkwood is a great place to begin with. The Reliability Award is an award where we actually turn in statistics associated with our reliability, and we're put up and measured against other utilities. And there's a board of utility ranking officials that judge us. In addition to judging our reliability, they judge our workforce plan, our capital plan, and the way we handle our market and finance operations. So it shows that we're doing things the right way, and we're doing things in a way that is competitive with everybody else in the business. These standards are not just municipal utility standards, but standards for everybody in the electric utility business. The safety award goes without reason. I mean, it's clearly we're in a tough business. It's a difficult business. Over this last year, it's been a difficult business. And to be able to say that we were able to do our job and do it without incident is certainly a testament to the dedication, skills that we have on our team. And just lastly, the partnership that we have with the themes that are associated with Kirkwood, in particular, the trees and the tree canopy that's in Kirkwood. Our ability to follow the right guidelines, follow the right practices, and really be able to have the right types of reliability with trimming, and at the same time continue to be able to allow trees to thrive within our right-of-way and our utility easements. It's a big plus, we think, because it makes Kirkwood have that kind of feel that everybody wants to see within the city while we're still doing things. So, I always try to remind everybody that while we were going through some things with the COVID situation, and it's not over yet, but people were able to continue to do the things that they needed to do. They were able to do schooling, they were able to do shopping, they were able to do entertainment, meetings, everything that people typically do with our electric service continued because we kept the lights on. And our folks did that in a dedicated manner by keeping themselves healthy so that they were available, and at the same time coming in and doing their job even when they had a lot of personal issues that they had to take care of with their families. So I appreciate the recognition that we're given. We are usually taken for granted. We like that. That's what we sign up for. But this is really a good time to stop for a minute and celebrate our successes with the three awards, particularly in a difficult year. We share this with our team. And our team is just not the folks that we've highlighted in some of the articles that you've seen recently, in the 12 and 13 line workers and other staff, but you and the citizens and everybody else that's helped support us so that we could pull this off. It's a difficult job trying to do it by yourself. You need the resources, you need everything else to go your way. Certainly, if you look at what we've been able to do in the market and other things, you can tell that there's a lot of moving pieces that require a lot of different things that have to take place in order for us to be properly prepared to get a good positive outcome. And everybody on the team weighed in to help us to be able to do that. So, like I say, we take a minute, we celebrate this, and we keep the attitude that we have to continue to work at it. I think our best days are still yet to come. Certainly our challenges are going to be different, as is evidenced by this year's challenges. We're going to have to continue to be able to modify what we do and react to whatever we do and come up with ways that will help us to continue to be successful. But, again, I thank everybody for all their support and help with us on this one. It was tough, and it's going to be difficult, obviously, to repeat, but it's a testament to the way we're able to work together. And the team that we have is a team that other utilities don't have, because we're municipal and we have police, fire, recreation, administration, council, self-governance, all of those things that make us special and make Kirkwood special. So thanks again. Appreciate it. And certainly we've passed it along to the staff to let them know that it's appreciated. And away we go now, back to work.
Absolutely, Mark. Well, again, we can't say enough. We just, all our city employees, but specifically yours, since we're talking to you right now, the work that your crews do and people do is just incredible. And it just really, it's very much appreciated. And thank them for us, please.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. There is one other item that's not on the agenda that I'm going to make a few comments about right now. As I think most people know, tomorrow is the last official work day for our 22-year Assistant Chief Administrative Officer, Georgia Ragland. It's been 22 years, which is really, really incredible. And we thank Georgia and for all the work that she has done. She just has done so many things, from insurance to pensions and everything in between. And she will be missed. But there's something else about Georgia that, and I know I take very personally. We don't know where or why in life certain things happen, why we happen to be somewhere. But, and I hope I don't embarrass Georgia or anything, but I since February 7th, 2008, I don't see Georgia without thinking about this, and I just need to acknowledge it. There's just a few people, and we all know who we are. We look at each other, and we just know. And no words have to be said about that night. But Georgia, that night was in her usual place by the dais when everything started. Georgia was there when the shooting started, and Georgia was there when the shooting ended. And to have endured that was just an incredible thing. But what is I think even almost more incredible is what Georgia did after all that. As deputy mayor, I called a meeting for 7 a.m. the next morning, and we met over at the police station, the staff and everybody, and Georgia was there 7 o'clock the next morning after all this had happened. And Georgia was there day after day after day, week after week, month after month. She committed herself to the city of Kirkwood in just such an incredible way. Had to be so difficult to walk into that building, but Georgia was there every day doing her job the way Georgia knows how to do it. And I will just never forget her, not just bravery, but commitment, professionalism, and character. I will just never forget that. And just know, George, I appreciate everything you've done, and and I do, and we never talk much about it. But when I look at you and you look at me, we know. And I see Hessel right there too, we just know. And it's just something that will just, it's just a bond there that's always gonna be there. And just, no, I can't you even think of incredible, amazing, just what, how you responded after that. And just thank you very, very much for that. And as people know, I'm not very big on proclaiming days, you know, in Kirkwood for people, but there's absolutely no way I wasn't going to, you know, proclaim George's last official day, which is April 4th, 2021, as Georgia Raglan Day in the city of Kirkwood. So, Georgia, all I can say is thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You're more than kind. Thank you.
Okay.
Mayor, if we could, I had an opportunity to drop in and speak with Georgia briefly today and discover something that I didn't know. You know, she's always got that easy smile. There's not a moment you've ever seen Georgia without a quiet smile. But I learned that she's a theater fan, you know, spent a lot of time on Broadway. And I hope that we can make arrangements at our performing center, the arts center, that anytime she's in to see a play, that we get her a designated location for a top-notch seat there. She deserves it.
Very good. All right, Georgia, again, I know you're low-key, but I just could not say something. So thank you for everything.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Georgia.
Okay. All right. We have a public hearing tonight. The staff initiated a request for a text amendment to section 25-36E3 of the zoning code related to revisions of the framework plan portion of the downtown master plan and parking study. Mr. Hessel, do you wish to enter any exhibits into the record?
I would, Mayor. Offer as exhibit one the affidavit of publication verifying that notice of this public hearing appeared in the St. Louis County. Exhibit two is an affidavit of publication verifying that notice of public hearing appeared in the Webster Kirkwood Times. Exhibit three is the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission dated March 4, 2021. Which the commission recommended that the framework plan portion of the downtown master plan and parking study be amended according to the recommendation from PGAV planners as revised by the commission, and that the necessary zoning code text amendment to section 25-36E3 be adopted. Exhibit four is the memorandum from Jonathan Raich to the Planning and Zoning Commission setting forth the recommendations to the language, as well as attachments Exhibit A and Exhibit B to that report. Exhibit five is the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirkwood.
Thank you, John. Mr. Hawes, who will present this to the council?
That would be Jonathan Raich, Planning and Development Services Director.
Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council. I will give me one moment and I'll share my screen here if you can all, Mayor, if you can let me know when it shows up.
Yes, it's up.
And is it the full screen slide?
It's not full screen though.
Okay, give me one, there we go. Is that, there how's it that? Is. Okay, yep. All right, thank you. All right, so this is a public hearing for a zoning code text amendment related to multifamily residential use as a permitted use in the B2 district, and relating to the framework plan revision recommendations from the downtown commercial market analysis that was conducted by PGAV. So just a little background, this is a topic we've covered multiple times over the past few years, and just a quick timeline to refresh everybody's memory. So in March of 2018, the downtown master plan and parking study was presented and finalized, and it included the framework plan that was the way in which, well, it was a recommendation at that time for a way in which we could regulate multifamily development and the location in downtown. In May of 2018, a little later that year, the City Council made its first revision to the framework plan as part of that downtown master plan. About a year later, in April 2019, the city then did add multifamily as a permitted use in the B2 district with reference to the framework plan. Then in May of 2019, a second revision was made to the framework plan. And most recently, in January 2020, first, the PGAV study, downtown commercial market study, was presented. And that was a follow-up, really, a more in-depth commercial market study done that was recommended as part of the downtown master plan by DPZ. So, and as part of that study, we asked PGAV to, in their expertise with market analyses, to look at that framework plan and to provide us with recommendations, if any, for revisions on where commercial is required and conversely where multifamily is permitted without a commercial component. And then most recently, in January of this year, the City Council did approve a third revision to the framework plan. And this was the most recent revision. It's a little crowded here. The red circle there is the intersection of Clay and Jefferson. Clay and Adams. And so the two properties on the east side of the intersection of Clay and Adams in January of this year were removed from the commercial component requirement, which means they were permitted to have multifamily without a commercial component in them. So that occurred this year earlier. And this is a zoomed out version of the excerpt from the PGAV commercial market analysis for downtown that shows so this is their annotated version of the framework plan that is excerpted from the downtown master plan. And their annotations are shown in blue. And this is what I referenced these in January as and told you guys that we would be coming back to you soon with these more holistic recommendations for consideration. And so the other recommendations, other than the Adams and Clay that I mentioned just a minute ago, PGAV also recommended really distinguishing the code at this time treats suggested and mandatory commercial. So in this diagram, the red solid lines are areas where a commercial component of the development is required. The red solid lines, the red dashed lines, are where they would be suggested. Up until now, our code has treated those two things the same way, so that if you're indicated, your property is indicated as suggested or mandatory commercial, we do require commercial at this point. PGAV's recommendations hinge upon us actually making a distinction between those two and codifying that. So you see there are four marked recommendations here. It would be changing Kirkwood Road from Washington Avenue north to essentially the existing commercial properties. They recommended adding those or changing those from recommended or suggested commercial to mandatory commercial. They recommended adding a suggested commercial designation on the 100 block of West Washington and the western half of the 100 block of East Washington. They also recommended the changes that were already adopted in January at Clay and Adams. And then lastly, they recommended a mandatory commercial designation for the 100 block of West Monroe on both the North and South streets. So those were the recommendations from that study that were presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The Planning and Zoning Commission did take those into consideration and did included in my memo for you all, four revisions, I guess, to those recommendations by the consultant. The first one, and I'll show you a final map. It was included in your packet, but I'll show that in a slide or two. But just to go over these, the first revision by the Planning and Zoning Commission was to exclude the property at 220 South Clay from the mandatory commercial requirement. I'll show you this on the map as well. The second one was to designate the property at 470 North Kirkwood Road, which is currently the US Bank site, as mandatory commercial. Third was to designate all properties on Kirkwood Road between Washington Avenue and Adams Avenue as mandatory commercial. And fourth was to change the designation of the property at 142 West Monroe Avenue from mandatory commercial as proposed by PGAV to suggested commercial. So before I show you the map that incorporates all the planning, the PGAV recommendations and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendations, as I mentioned, this is all hinged upon distinguishing between suggested and mandatory, which we have not done until this point. So that is the first reason for the zoning text amendment. Up until this point, we have amended the framework plan by resolution because it was adopted by resolution. But in order to distinguish between suggested and mandatory, we do have to do a text amendment to section 2536E3. And again, this is the section of the code that outlines, because really what we're talking about is multifamily as a permitted use in the B2 district. And the framework plan allowed us to answer the questions about how much multifamily should we have downtown and where should that be located, or on how many properties and where should those properties be located. So this text amendment removes the reference to the suggested commercial and just leaves that in the B2 district, unless otherwise approved as part of a mixed use development. I glossed over that until now. But in the B2 district, unless otherwise approved as part of a mixed use development, multifamily dwellings cannot be constructed on properties that are designated as mandatory commercial in the downtown master plan and parking studies framework plan. So before I go on to the figure reference there, again, this is just where multifamily without a commercial component would be permitted. So our mixed use projects are still available throughout the downtown, regardless. They're the same way they are today. If they meet the requirements to qualify as a mixed use development, they would be able to be located on any of these properties. Since the Planning and Zoning Commission, or between the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation and now, staff has looked at this a little more and discussed with the city attorney as well. And we recommend considering adding the figure, the map itself, as a figure to the text. So I have here the text shows C figure 36A, and the next slide is what would ultimately be that 36A inserted into the code. And again, this would make the framework plan portion of the downtown master plan, it would codify it. So it would take in the future to make changes, it would take a text amendment, okay? And the reason we are considering this now is really just to remove any question or doubt on applicants or property owners that they may have about where it's permitted or not. We recommend that you all consider it just to make it absolutely clear and as part of the code. So you see, this is the final version that, like I said, incorporates the PGAV recommendations as revised by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And if I can find that slide so I can point them out to you here. So again, those recommendations were to exclude the property at 220 South Clay. So that is the northeast corner of Monroe and Clay. You all can see my cursor, right? Maybe, maybe not. Okay. So the north.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So the northeast corner of Monroe and Clay, that is currently a multifamily development with no commercial. It is also a fairly small property in comparison. So the Planning and Zoning Commission discussed that as a comparable property to what we discussed at Adams and Clay and removed the restriction there. So they recommend not requiring commercial on that smaller multifamily commercial, multifamily property. While I'm in this area, just across the street, one of the recommendations, this is the 142 West Monroe site where they recommend moving it from mandatory to suggested commercial. This is the where did my cursor go? This is the property that has been used as multiple things. It's the old historic landmark building that Taleo Coffee was approved for. There was Alta Planning. There was a yoga studio in there recently, and historically, even before, it was, I believe, a banquet and food service place. So it has been various commercial uses in the past. It is a landmark building. So the commission discussed whether it would be appropriate to remove it completely from the commercial because it is also smaller in size. The other thing that they mentioned that we talked about on the Adams and Clay conversation was also the fact that these two properties are on the opposite side of Clay. There are residential uses, and actually on the southwest, single family residential. So they saw that as a good transition. Now, because it's been successful commercial in the past, they decided to recommend, the Planning and Zoning Commission decided to recommend this as a suggested commercial, just to try to keep that in there if it's possible for future uses, but didn't feel strongly enough to require it. The other two changes that they made was to extend, so PGAV's recommendation cut short of the US Bank site here. And I don't know that that was, it may have even actually been an oversight or an error. So to keep the commercial component requirement consistent along all of Kirkwood Road where there is commercial currently, it would be extended through the current US Bank site. And then lastly, the properties between Washington and Adams, again, it was a little hard to tell in the previous diagrams, but it looked like the properties on the north half of the block were a dashed line. And again, because we previously hadn't distinguished between suggested and mandatory, it really wasn't discussed much before because we treated them the same. But now that we're distinguishing between the two, it seemed appropriate to the Planning and Zoning Commission to make sure to clarify that the properties on Kirkwood Road between Adams and Washington would require commercial as well. So this does take the text amendment to amend both the text and then to add the figure. So that requires a public hearing. That's why we're here tonight. And so after tonight's public hearing, we request that City Council consider the recommendations, and it would take two votes for an ordinance to pass the ordinance. And with that, I am available for questions. Mayor, I think you're muted.
Sorry about that. I see the council member Sears. We'll start with you.
I just wondered about the use of the term multifamily dwelling as opposed to any. I mean, are we open then for single family dwellings?
No. So they're defined differently in our code. So then single families is different in the use table. It's a separate row in the use table. So they are distinguished. So it would not.
I don't know what, I mean, unless it's taken care of elsewhere in the code, which you would know better than me. I don't know why we would say multifamily without including other residential uses or non-business uses. But like it may be that my question is silly because it's obvious somewhere else in the code.
Is the question, are you suggesting that we should allow single family in the B2 district where multifamily is? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just suggesting that we be clear. If we say no multifamily, so that's very specific. And I wonder if we intend for it to be broader than that, and it sounds like we do.
So I guess the basis of how the uses are identified in the code is now we have a use table. And so it lists every use and which districts those uses are permitted with standards or a special use. So multiple dwelling multifamily or multifamily dwelling is a whole separate category. So It's very clearly in section 2535 in the use table 35-1 that, for instance, single family dwelling is a whole separate row and it is prohibited in B2, if that answers your question.
That answers the question. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other council comments or questions? Councilmember Zimmer.
Yes, Jonathan, we talked about 144 West Adams and the size of that property really prohibited it because it was so small it could never be commercial. Are there any other areas that we're looking at that are in the designated mandatory commercial designations that kind of fall into the same bucket that even though we're designating them as mandatory commercial, we, because of our code, you know, building height, parking requirements, would they not be able to meet mandatory commercial, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think so. So I believe the few instances, you know, the Monroe and Clay intersection that we talked about, those two were examples mm-hmm. that P&Z discussed that, and certainly I think were recommended to be revised appropriately. There are on that same block of Monroe, there are some narrow lots. However, I think the whole reason for PGAV's recommendation is that they have been successful commercial properties up to this point, and that we would want to continue to see that. And so that's the rationale of the recommendation as I see it.
Sure. Yeah, I the only thing I'm saying real quick, if those come before us, you know, that's something we'll have to deal with if they don't meet our requirements right now,
right?
What they have now.
Sure. And I think the other piece, while certainly lot size was talked about substantially for West Adams, I don't want to downplay the physical location of those properties being directly across from a church and school. I think the surrounding uses, as much as anything, play a part in this. And so
sure.
while there may be other similarly sized properties in the middle of the block on Monroe, you know, they are in the middle of commercial uses. So I think, you know, there's a number of components that to be considered. So.
And that makes sense. Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan.
Sure.
Councilmember Dewey.
I drove by the Monroe block that we are talking about, and I don't know if there's a way to do this or if there is a way that's already been done. But those are beautiful buildings, used to be houses, but buildings that are now commercial. And is there anything in the code that protects those remaining commercial but not turning into a five-story building? I don't know that we can do that, but it's just, the whole block is the same, and it's just a very unique and very wonderful place to have an office building in one of those houses.
Yeah. So this change would preserve them staying commercial. It would not prevent,
correct.
It would not prevent them from being redeveloped. And
exactly.
I don't, other than the 142 West Monroe, the corner property, I don't believe any of the other ones are a landmark, and they're not in a district, which, as you know, it would add a layer of review, but would not prohibit somebody from.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So,
correct. I just didn't know if that's ever been brought up, if there's any interest in trying to come up with a way in the code to protect these houses that we have in Kirkwood that are beautiful, and they have offices in them. They have commercial in them.
I guess I just sort of
wanted to throw it out there and let's think about it if anybody's interested. That's it.
Any other council? Hands up. I see no other council hands up. So do we have anyone from the audience wishing to speak?
There are no hands raised.
All right, thank you, Freddy. Any final questions or comments from council? All right, seeing none, this public hearing is closed, and this bill will be on our new business agenda on April 15th. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will move on to public comments.
The public comments portion of the meeting is an opportunity for the City Council to listen to comments from citizens. It is not a question and answer session, and the City Council will not respond to comments or answer questions during this period. The mayor may refer any matter brought up to the City Council to the Chief Administrative Officer or City Clerk if action is needed. If there's anybody wishing to make a public comment, if you would please state your name and address for the record.
All right. Thank you, Laurie. Ready, we have anyone wishing to speak?
There are no hands raised.
All right, thank you. All right, with that, we will then move on to our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, any questions or comments on the consent agenda?
Yes.
Councilmember Givens.
I'd like to hold F and G.
F is 27-2001 and G 28-2021. Those are the two?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, bear with me one second. I'm going to need to write those down on the agenda. All right, thank you. Do we have any other questions or comments on the consent agenda? All right, seeing none, all in favor of the consent agenda with items G and F removed, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. All right. We'll move to unfinished business, Bill 10872.
Yes, Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance appropriating $27,000 from the Electric Fund balance to the electric engineering account to cover additional expenses associated with the time of use rate development and polar vortex power and sales impact.
All right, any questions or comments? I see none, roll call please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Givens?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Bill passes. New business, Bill 10873.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance appropriating donations received from Kirkwood resident Zach Wagner in the amount of $14,716 to the Dasherboard advertising account and then to the small capital machinery and equipment account, accepting the quote of Nevco Incorporated in the amount of $14,715.42 for the purchase of two new scoreboards for the Community Center Ice Arena.
Is there a motion for approval?
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very, very nice, generous donation from obviously one of our hockey fan residents.
Yes, very generous. Very generous.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Bill 10874.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance adopting a revised City of Kirkwood classification and pay plan.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
All right, a motion, a second. Any questions or comments? All right, seeing none, all in favor, first reading, please say aye.
Mayor, I'm sorry, I had one thing. I'm still learning all this, but this person's a part-time person, but we're comparing it to a full-time position. Is that correct? I didn't understand.
Josh, you want to take that?
Actually, Georgia may be better suited to answer this question. I don't think it's being compared to a full-time position. I'll let Georgia handle that.
We group positions together. The hourly rates will be within the same, pay classification. So the value of what they're doing is kind of worth the same value as what others are doing in that pay classification. They simply will be working fewer hours.
I see. Okay. And does it include insurance when you're part-time?
It includes some benefits. This does not include health insurance or dental or vision, but there are other benefits like life insurance and our EAP program and those kinds of things that are extended to part-time employees.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? All right, seeing none, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Bill 10875.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance amending the Kirkwood Code of Ordinances, Chapter 2, Article 7, Boards and Commissions, by adding a new division, 4, Youth Advisory Commission, and redesignating the subsequent divisions accordingly.
Is there a motion for approval?
So I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
I think Maggie's her motion could be the first and second,
Probably.
Questions or comments? I think I'll just go to Maggie first.
I'll just say this. These students are excited, are exciting, ready to work and solve and learn and be involved. I look forward to having their thoughts, ideas, and opinions to be part of the fabric of Kirkwood for a very, very long time.
Thanks to you and thanks to John for the work and the job that he put into it.
You bet.
Legislation done.
It was a pleasure for all the reasons Maggie gave.
Wait a minute, you're our attorney. You shouldn't have fun doing legal work.
Well, I had to deal with Maggie too. So.
Well, there you go.
There's that.
Now we understand. All right, any other council comments or questions on this? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Bill passes first reading. Resolution 30, 2021.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution accepting the bid of Bates Utility Company in the amount not to exceed of $419,786. Which includes contingency of $38,163 for Grand Avenue water main replacement and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
Moved.
Motion.
Motion, a second. Questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 33, 2021.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution accepting the bid of Lamke Trenching and Excavating in the amount of $935,030.25, not to exceed budgeted funds, for concrete slab replacement, and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 34-2021.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution approving two modifications to the subdivision design standards in Chapter 25, Article 10 of the Municipal Code to accommodate an adjustment of the boundary lines between properties located at 336, 338, and 340 South Fillmore Avenue, subject to certain conditions.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Councilmember Gibbons.
This is residential property, correct?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Just south of north of Fillmore Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's zoned residential. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? All right. Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Now we'll go to the two resolutions pulled from the consent agenda. Resolution 27-2021.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution accepting the bid of Ranieri Construction at the rates provided in the bid tab sheet, copy of which is attached here to and incorporated by reference herein, amount not to exceed budgeted funds for infrastructure restoration repair program for the water and engineering departments for an initial term of 12 months with the option to renew for up to four additional 12-month terms pending budgetary approval and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
A motion and a second. Questions or comments? Councilmember Gibbons.
Well, the reason I wanted to hold this over is that I would like a stipulation that the sidewalks not be white, that they try to match as closely as possible. And I know that that's not, you know, that's, but they don't have to be stark white. So somehow I wanted in here that they have the concrete that's used to replace our sidewalks would have some kind of tinting in it so that they were not a white sidewalk, and to get as close as they can to existing sidewalk that's there.
I guess the question, I don't know, is that done? Is that possible? Can be done? What's the cost?
My understanding is, yes, it is possible. You can't get a perfect match necessarily, and it does drive the cost up. So fewer sidewalks are repaired for the same amount of money under those circumstances. And that's the reason that I believe that public services has done it in the way in which it has been done for years. But if council wishes to change that approach, we can certainly change that approach.
Do we know, or Bill, I don't know, or Chris, what the difference in cost is to from just putting the concrete to trying to do some type of some type of color match.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We don't have an exact cost, but one of the problems is that we used in this program with sidewalks, we use something that's called small loads of concrete. So we don't get out and when we do the sidewalks, we're only using 2-4 yards of concrete at a time, not 10 or 15. If we were